The Guardian.
We're walking around the Stephen Friedman Gallery in Mayfair, and I'm surrounded by people, except they're not people. They're the sculptures of the German artist Stefan Balkenhol, who, ever since I've known his work, which is for over 20 years now, has been carving human beings, some larger than life, some smaller than life. Gigantic heads on stands, which look very much like the kinds of stands that a sculptor might well carve on, and others on plinths. The figures actually carved from the plinth, from the same piece of wood, looking back at you at head height. Some are perhaps 20 or 30 centimeters tall. I'm looking at a woman in a black dress, black high-heel shoes, her hands behind her back, blue eyes, red lips. She looks forward in front of her implacably. A naked woman next to her, wearing nothing at all, with a number of carved wooden quoits which have been thrown over her. She stands among them. But the sculpture I want to come to is almost life-size, the size anyway of an adult child, with his hands in his pockets, looking straight forward right through the gallery to the street beyond, in Sousant character. Brown trousers, a blue shirt. He doesn't have what my physiotherapist would call a good posture, really. Roughly carved, roughly hewn. Or perhaps he just looks rough. Chips of wood. But it's not expressionist. In fact, it's the opposite. And it's these figures by Balkenhol that I like the best, the most ordinary, the ones that he's been making off and on for over 20 years. They're all alike and they're all different. He carves them and gives them a wash, a lick of paint, with absolutely no wish to make them appear expressionist or realist. They're sort of on the verge of being social realist, heroic figures or gigantic heads, as some of the sculptures are. But they're not. They somehow never escape the ordinary. And you can't really tell from their facial expressions what they're thinking or what they're feeling. The Canadian artist Jeff Waugh once described them as being like convalescents. They're ready to leave the house and go out into the world and amongst people, but they're not really able yet to fully engage in life. There's another little man over here in white slacks. Weekend wear, perhaps. A pair of chinos. Similar blue shirt. Perhaps they shop at the same place. They're always almost blonde, ordinary people. Classless. One imagines that they have hopes, perhaps for a bigger car or a happier marriage, a more exciting life. But the most excitement they get is to stand on a plinth or on a gigantic stool. Some of his other works, he gives these people animal-like heads, giraffes and cows. And other times he's have smaller figures climbing up, say, the neck of a giraffe. They're sort of folkloric in a way. I like them best when they're just ordinary and everyday. And we can pace about among them, come up behind them. He uses several different woods, Douglas fir, poplar, wah-wah wood. I don't know how well seasoned any of it is, because the sculptures are cracking. They have fissures that run right through them. Gallery staff tell me you can hear them. As the room gets more or less humid, warmer or cooler, the wood creaks. I guess we all end up creaking, and we all have fissures that run right through us, like this gigantic head that I've walked up to now. The grain of the wood, a knot on the forehead, like a mole or a kind of blemish, and this great crack that runs right through this man, behind whom there is a panel on the wall with a sort of sun on it, painted sun. This is a man with a halo. There's a sort of sadness in it, I think. Time passing. Strange standing amongst them and walking around them and realizing that they will never get older, unlike the rest of us. They'll just fall apart, get wormy, and die.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.